From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures from themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we begin this morning, I invite you to watch a short video from a very old movie called Wall Street. Michael Douglas won an Academy Award for this one.
The new law of evolution in corporate America seems to be survival of the unfittest. Well, in my book, you either do it right or you get eliminated. In the last seven deals that I've been involved with, there were 2.5 million stockholders who have made a pre-tax profit of $12 billion. Thank you. I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Greed is good. That's Gordon Gekko's theory of life. Don't be against greed. Want more. Always more, because the emotion of greed is what's getting you moving in the direction you want to be moving. Fortunately, in the movie, the direction he wanted to be moving was more money, more cars, more fancy clothes, more beautiful girls who date you for your money and your cars and your clothes. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Boy, do we need to hear those words in our day and in our time. There's this message that's under the surface of just about every advertisement that pops up in our internet feed or in our mailbox or in our television shows. It's a message that's meant to make us feel inadequate. We're not beautiful enough or healthy enough, or we haven't saved enough for our retirement, or we aren't wearing the right clothes or taking the right vacations. We are inadequate. Can you feel the memory muscles in your brains going off? The different ads that have done that to you? Why? Why do they do that to us? We know why. It's because they want us to believe that the product they are selling, whatever it is, will fill the holes that we have in our lives. Whatever makes us feel that we are not enough, they have something that can take away that pain. And they're happy to create the hole for us if we haven't already been painfully aware of it on our own. This is not a scripture passage that's trying to tell us we're lost if we are rich. Jesus' warning in this passage is against greed, which is the insatiable feeling of never having enough. This is a passage that's trying to tell us that life is not about having more things, that the anxiety we're living in order to get more things, that's not what life is about. And possessions that do not further our relationship with God and with each other, well, those are possessions that are not worth having. Our rich farmer, did you notice how he talked? I will do this. I will pull down the barns. I will store all the grain. I will talk to my soul. All about him. There's no prayer. Oh, Lord, what should I do with this blessing, this overabundance of grain that the land has provided for me? No conversation with God. No family meeting to talk about what should happen. Nothing about sharing with the people that helped him do the work. Nothing about the community. It's about the farmer and his desire to have more than enough, believing that the abundance will provide him with all that he needs to relax, to be merry. Have you seen those shows on hoarding? So much stuff. Most of it things people don't want or need, but can't find a way to part with. The people they highlight on these shows have it to the point of it being an illness. But I wonder if we're all on the spectrum of having too much. People who haven't moved for years, who are trying to downsize, are always shocked by the amount of things they have accumulated and the decisions of what to keep and what to give away and then what to throw away. Those are tough decisions. But what if the lens through which we make those decisions has to do with relationship? If this is something that is important in your relationship with another person that helps you tell the story to yourself or to the next generation, then that's important. If this is important in your ability to reach out to other people, then it's important. If this is something that could bring someone else joy, then it's something to be shared. How do we make those decisions? How do we look at what we have and think about what builds up the body of Christ, builds us up as servants of God? If it's taken all your time and energy, it's probably getting in the way of relationship instead of building it up. When we truly don't have what we need, when we don't know where the next paycheck will be coming from, it's easy to think, if I just had that figured out, all would be well. Then I could make time for relationships. Then I could make time for my relationship with God. If this part was done, then I'd have time. But the evidence is, when we have enough, it doesn't make us make more time. It doesn't cause us to have more time with people. It doesn't have the effect of causing us to be more present with God. In fact, there's a higher rate of faith in countries where they have much, much less than in countries where we have begun to believe that our possessions can fill the hole that is really all about God. You know the quote, no one on their deathbed wishes they made more money or accumulated more things. We've heard it so many times now, and yet with all the forces in our world that are triggering our insatiable wanting of more, we need to hear it again. Our treasures are in our relationships with people. Our treasures are in our relationship with Jesus. Our treasure are in what we do with and for God. Here and now in this kingdom that falls so far short of the kingdom of heaven, the work that we do and how we do it and what motivates us to do it makes all the difference. I know you've all had managers who built people up, who nurtured you. I also know you've had managers that were all about them, that took the credit and didn't give you what you needed. What relationships have you had that fed you? And how do you be that for somebody else? How do you reach out to other people? You know, it's even as simple as when you go to do your errands. Are you doing it on automatic pilot so that you don't even notice the person that you're giving the money to at the store? You don't even see who you're walking by? My dad told me a story. My dad's a talker. Some of you know that. He's good at talking to people. But he was on his way out of a store in a bit of a hurry, and he had on this red jacket, and he heard this older man say, "Hey, man in the red jacket." And he looked around, and he didn't know the man. But he figured it was him, so he went over and said hi. And the man said, "I bet you 25 cents. I'll give you 25 cents if you tell me how old I am." My dad said, "Well, you don't have to give me 25 cents, but I'll guess. You're 80. He said, "No, I'm 90. And then he said, "Would you sit down and talk to me? Because I go whole days with nobody sitting down and talking to me, never hearing anybody's voice. So I go to a different store every day, and I pray. And I say, 'God, tell me who to call out to.' And today he said, 'The man in the red coat.'" And so my dad sat and talked with him for a half an hour, hearing about his life. You know how easy it would have been to keep walking, to pretend you didn't hear the voice. Sometimes the voice is out loud. Sometimes it's quiet. We need to pay attention. Our relationship with God and with each other, it's what life is about. It's who we are. It's who God wants us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.